Well, the series that we're going over is Songs of Praise. Songs of Praise, because Psalms in the Hebrew, Tehillim, means praises, songs of praise. And there's 150 Psalms, and it's broken down into five separate parts, five separate books of the book of Psalms. I think it's interesting that from the first five books of the Bible called the Torah, break down in the same order as the Psalms go. And so that's pretty exciting. So we'll be getting into that kind of stuff as time goes on. But I love the way God's word just ties together. And each one of those five sections ends in a doxology, which is praise be to the Lord. And just these beautiful songs. But guys, when you sing, when you're in the car and you're listening to the radio and a song comes up and there's a meaning to it that strikes your heart, what do you tend to do as the song comes on the radio? And you're by yourself in the car, whether you can sing or not, what do you tend to do? La, right? You just go for it, right? Have you ever driven by somebody who's having one of those beautiful moments in the car? They're completely unaware of the world around them. They may even be forgetting that they're driving. And they're just, the pipes are going full out. Have you ever been caught doing that yourself, right? Yeah. Well, the Psalms are these beautiful songs. They weren't written to be just read. They're meant to be sung. And so the people of the day, they would sing these songs and these beautiful, beautiful songs. There's three types of songs in these 150 Psalms. And the first is praise, thanking God for who he is, for what he's done, being just blown away by his presence, blown away by his power, by his strength, and thanking him for it. The second one is the lamenting Psalms. And I got to tell you, maybe it shares a little bit too much about my personality, but these tend to be my favorite. The lamenting Psalms, the lamenting is complaining about hardship, right? Oh God, where are you? What's going on here? Man, but I love the Psalms that are the lamenting Psalms, because the writers of the songs, they're sharing what we feel at so many times, so many different times in our lives, of God, what's going on? I don't understand. I'm following you. I believe in you. I've given you my life. And yet, here we are. And the things that are happening to me are unfair, or maybe it's just awful. And I don't understand why I'm having to deal with these things. I thought your grace was sufficient, but you know what? Not only am I not feeling your grace, I'm not even feeling your presence. And I love these lamenting Psalms because they start out just like that. My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. Why have you hidden your face from me? It's the same psalm that Jesus quotes from the cross, right? Man, if Jesus can say it, we can be real with God, right? What do we learn from the Psalms? That we can be real. That we don't have to sound Christian-y when we're talking to God. So often we feel like we have to go to God and we have to say, Hi, God. Or Heavenly Father, sorry, more official. Thank you for this. And it has to be this very distant, very bland communication and relationship. God wants intimacy with his children. It's a father with his children. And it's not just a father, it's the perfect heavenly father. A perfect loving father wants to be known and to know his kids. And he wants them to be real with them. I love it when my kids share with me what's really going on in their lives, because it allows me in. But it's hard for kids, isn't it? It's hard, especially when you get to that teenager. I miss the days when I would come home and my kids would run out to greet me. It wasn't that long ago. And the girls, I wouldn't get too in the house. I'd get pull up and I'd be walking towards the house. They'd run out and they'd jump in my arms. I miss those days so much. Now it's, hey. Hey, sweetie, how are you doing? Good. How was school today? Fine. Parents want intimacy with their kids, right? Real relationship. God wants that intimacy, that real relationship. So we've got songs of praise, songs of lament, and songs of thanksgiving. Being blown away by the goodness of God. You know those days that you pick up something to remember that day by. I tend to pick up stones. And I'll pick up a stone, and that stone represents to me that special day. I've got stones all over my office, all over my house. And I don't know, but for some reason, stones seem to symbolize to me that's when God was faithful. That's when he just moved mountains for me. I didn't have a way out, and he provided a way. So the Psalms have multiple authors. David is one of the main authors. He wrote 75 of them. Solomon wrote two. Moses even wrote one, Psalms 90. And there's other authors too. The Psalms is a songbook for God's people. Guys, you know when you see a songbook and we take out the songbook and we sing songs from the songbook? That's what the Psalms are. It's a songbook to God. And when sung in faith, when sung in faith, they help shape our heart and emotions. They help shape our decision-making. They help shape the life that we live. And Psalms 1, where we're starting, is a call for God, for the people of God living in a fallen world to focus on what? On the Word of God. On the Word of God. As we come to the Word here in Psalm 1, I want to preface it with this question. Why do good things happen to bad people? And why do bad things happen to good people? I mean, if God is loving and good, then why do some of the most dishonest people have such incredible success at the expense of others? If God is good, what? Why this? Why? It won't be easy. It won't be easy. And we're going to be looking at that question. Why is this road so hard? Why are there so many pitfalls? Why are there so many stones? Why are there so many curves and so many areas where you can fall off the cliff? Start in Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit, in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Verse 4, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. It starts out here, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Do you guys remember from earlier series that we did? Anybody remember what blessed means? Anybody remember what blessed means? What is it?
Being on the right road.
Being on the right road, on the right path. To be on the right road, on the right path. We have one of you who was paying attention, praise God. Got to give you a little bit of our time. To be on the right path. So being on the right path, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. There's two separate paths that we're seeing here, aren't there? There's the path of righteousness, which leads to blessing that's eternal. And there's a path of wickedness, and that leads to destruction. So my question is this: how do I know which path is the right path? And that's what we see right in the scripture here. It gives us a picture of how do we be blessed? How do we be on the right path of life? And the scripture tells us right here. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Look at this. Walk in step with the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or take a seat in the company of mockers. They're all what? Areas where we're actively involved, right? We're standing, we're sitting, we're walking. We're actively involved. We're going from what we were doing to joining. And we're blessed when we don't join in with what wicked people are doing. So it means, guys, when you see people doing what's wrong, don't join it. Whether it's talking about what's wrong, whether it's doing what's wrong. Right? Yeah, he said gangs. Guess what? There's all kinds of gangs. There's all kinds. You don't have to wear colors to be in a gang. You can be in a gang at work. You can be in a gang in your family. You can be with a certain group doing certain things that bind you together. And when you're with a group of people and you're choosing to do what's wrong according to the word of God, that's wickedness. And there's consequences, guys. Now, let me ask you this. Does God forgive? Absolutely. Isn't it beautiful that God forgives? So does that mean as Christians, we can work the system? Hey, we have a forgiving God. So, you know, Friday, Saturday night, do my thing. But I'll end it well on Sunday morning, worshiping God. He forgives. We're all good. I'm ready for the week again. Kind of put my foot to the metal, plow down, get set, work hard, try and be mostly good. And then it's me time, Friday, Saturday night, Sunday morning, come back, get forgiven. Is that how it works? Man, you see, something happens when we come to faith. We literally go from death to life spiritually. And now the things that we used to crave, have you ever had a certain food that you crave? I remember when I was a missionary in Uganda, and away for all those years, I used to think about Tony Romo's baby back ribs. And every time I think about it, you know, as I'm eating, you know, cooked bananas or something like cold hard cream of wheat for the second time that day, I'd be thinking, Tony Roma's baby back ribs. I want my baby back, baby. I realize that's Chili's, but I would put Tony Roma's the thing with the theme song from Chili's. I want my baby back, baby back, baby. I want my baby back, baby back, baby. There were times where I was in the middle of the bush and I would have saliva, I could just taste. I was like, I don't want to do cooked banana again. I can't do it. Can't do it. And I would crave. What we crave, what as believers, as when we come to Christ, the things that used to satisfy now bring what? Now cause our conscience to go, ooh. That's not right. And so when we sin as a believer, something's amiss. We can't fully enjoy it just in the carefree attitude that we had before. And then we realize, man, what am I doing? And then after we sin, guilt and shame, now the enemy has some serious weapons to just slam us with. You call yourself a believer? You're no different than any of your friends. Where were you Friday, Saturday night? Come on, you're not a believer. You may play lip service. We start to doubt our faith. We start to get discouraged. Yeah. And it's this roller coaster. On the right path, blessed is the one who's not hanging out with the people that are leading us into this highs and lows and serious lows of disobedience. Verse 3, it says, that person is like a tree, talking about the mockers, the sinners, that, or talking about the one who chooses what's right, the one who honors God and how they live. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. What happens to a tree that doesn't get water? It dies. I've got a plant in my office. I'm terrible with plants. If you saw this, you would be like, kill it and put it out of its misery already. And I'll have times where there's not even one leaf on it. I think I've got like 3 or 4 leaves on it right now, because I remembered to water a couple. This plant is the hardiest plant I've ever had. It keeps dying, coming back to life. Nothing on it, just a stick pointing out. People are like, why do you have a stick in a pot? And then a little while later, if I remember to water, a few leaves happen. And what would happen if we watered all? If I watered it all the time? If I took care of it? If I made, you know what? The soil in it, it's old. It's like rock hard. When I put water in it, it hangs on the top for a while before it can seep down. What if I had good soil around? Man, it might have a chance. Chet, man, he knows how to do plants. If you want fruit or something, man, he grows incredible things. And he's got all these ways to nurture that's the believer. That we're around the stream, that we're taking care, that it's producing fruit. Because fruit trees that don't produce fruit, are they fruit trees? See, fruit trees produce fruit, but we need water. We need to take care of it. Blessed is the man who does not do what the wicked do. Blessed is the woman who doesn't go and partake of what is happening around her when it's dishonoring to God. So how do we know what's wicked? From God's word. But those who delight in the law of the Lord, those who delight, take pleasure in God's law, in the word of God. Is it what you're craving? Is it what you want? Man, when I'm walking strong with the Lord, something is happening. I'm spending time in communication, both in his word and in prayer. And that's why I'm walking strong. When I'm wondering, God, where are you? You know what's usually preceded that? A lack of communication from my side, not ever from God's side. Because God is always speaking generally through his creation and specifically through his word. Every time I go outside and I see a beautiful plant, what should come to mind? Man, we have an awesome God. When I go to his word, and I think, man, I need to live out his word. Parents means that we need to parent in a different way. The goal isn't to get our kids to obey us. It's that we capture their hearts and that God captures their hearts. And obedience is one of the blessings that comes from that. Why do we want, as parents, our children to obey us? Because it brings blessing. What is a parent's, guess what? I've made mistakes that I don't want my kids to make. Now, we have a God who doesn't make mistakes, but he's seen a whole lot of mistakes around him. And he wants the best for his children. And he's given us parameters. You know what? You've got all kinds of freedom, but I'm going to give you these parameters of protection, of encouragement, of blessing. And I want the best for you. That's what a good parent does, right? A good parent doesn't say, hey, you want to play in traffic, go play in traffic. I don't care. Do whatever you want to do. No, a good parent gets involved. A good parent gets involved. Blessed are those who delight and meditate on Scripture. And meditate, what does it mean to meditate on Scripture? It literally means to mull under your breath over and over. What's that? Thinking about it. I meditate. I'm going over it in my head. And when we take Scripture and, man, what would happen if I'm going over Scripture as how to deal with a situation at work? Okay, man, she said this. And I need to make a decision here of how I respond to that. Well, what does Scripture say? Well, don't gossip. Or don't speak ill of others. Well, maybe I need to step back. Maybe I need to bring in a word of love and encouragement. Have you ever seen a group that everybody's talking about bad about each other and people are leaving one by one? Nobody wants to leave because they know they're the next one to get slammed. There's a lot of nervous laughter. But when we meditate on God's word, we know how to respond to the challenges of life. We know what's coming. 2 Timothy 3:16 brings us to even greater depth. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All Scripture is useful for preparing us to live a righteous life, to get on the right path so that we're blessed by living out and living on the right path and making the right decisions. Scripture defines what is righteous. So we are meditating on it. We're spending our time in it. Ask yourself, am I changing the world around me, or is the world around me changing me? Am I bringing change of God's truth into the world, or is the world affecting me and changing me and making me more like the world? Because if I'm living according to the truth of the word, guess what? In small, little, not these big giants, in everyday little ways, I'm going to be bringing blessing to the people around me. People will stop talking about others negatively when they're around me, because they know that, you know what? I lead it in a different direction. Because when people are around that kind of thing, man, it touches them. There's something different about that person. When they get in trouble, when things go wrong in their lives, guess who they talk to? The person who's encouraging others. The person who's building others up. The person who's living out what they believe. Even if they don't voice what they believe a lot, when somebody else is struggling, they'll come talk to somebody who's solid in their faith. I need help. I love it when my friends who aren't Christians say, hey, Matthew, can you pray for me? Absolutely, I'll pray for you. I love praying for, I love being asked for prayer by unbelievers. It's a step, man, what an opening for the love of God to be shown and experienced. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I love that. Don't conform any longer to how the people around us live who don't know Christ. Instead, be transformed. How? How? By the renewing of your mind. What is that? The renewing of your mind. How do we get our minds renewed? Well, you've heard the term junk in, junk out. Well, I get my mind renewed by going back to the Word of God and the presence of God in prayer so that I'm taking in truth, good stuff in, good stuff out. Why do the great athletes get better when they train and eat well? Because they're renewing, they're replenishing, they're renewing the body, they're making it stronger and better. We need to do the same things with our minds. Hey guys, it takes moments to get the mind in the gutter, doesn't it? Our minds can go in the wrong place and wrong direction so quick. Man, there's so many challenges around us. So what is it saying, verse 4 to 6? Not so with the wicked. They are like chaff that the winds blow away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Guys, what is that talking about? Because I see a lot of wicked people being very successful. I see a lot of bad people experiencing good things. But this is talking about, man, they're going to have to answer. We're going to have to answer to God. And when I come up to my God, not only before I became a Christian, but after I decided to follow Jesus, there's a lot of stuff I'm going to be like, oh, God, forgive me. Guys, we can't have right standing with God apart from faith. And the good news is I'm not judged eternally by every little thing. When it comes to the judgment before God, do I get to spend eternity with him or not? It's, have I decided to follow Jesus? Am I following him or am I following me? Am I leading or am I following? Am I the one in my life who decides what's right and wrong? Or am I the one who said, God, I have no way out of this. I've tried other things. I'm tired of failing. I want you. And when we come by faith to Jesus, I love what it says there. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. There's two paths, righteous and wicked. And what makes us righteous? Not being better than other people, but receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, believing in Christ, coming to faith, saying, yes, I choose Jesus. So I want to ask you this. Which road are you on right now? Right now, which road are you on? The righteous will ultimately prosper, eternity with God. And what makes us righteous? Jesus makes us righteous, not anything else. Belief in him, faith. So we need to choose to follow him. And guys, here's the thing. Joy is the blessing that Psalms 1 is talking about. Because when I'm on the right road, the blessedness, the blessing of being on the right road is that I have joy. And my joy, here it is, guys, is not dependent on things going the way I want around me. My joy is in Christ himself, God himself in me. And now whether things are going well or everything's falling apart and I'm like, I can still experience joy and peace in the midst of the storm. In the midst of the chaos, I can have the peace and joy of God. There's nothing better than that. That means that my emotions aren't dependent on how others treat me. Let's think about that. Without that, others can control me by what they do to me. I live in bondage to trying to please people so they'll treat me well. But in faith, whether they treat me well or poorly, I can be whole emotionally. And now, as I face the challenges ahead of me, I've got a God who gives me the peace and the strength and the courage and the courage and the courage to take another step forward and to move on in his righteousness, in his truth. And as a result, I experience joy even in the midst of the storm. Guys, joy is powerful. There's something comes from joy, and that's what? Hope. When I have joy in God now, I've got that hope of, and it's going to be even better. And the struggles that I'm going through now are nothing in comparison to the hope that I have in him, to the blessing that I have in him, and what's coming my way. Guys, joy then comes through a roundabout way through obedience, through being on the right path, through being obedient to the word of God, obedience, it comes from that joy from God. Comes from that obedience is seeking God with my whole heart. And that's why I'm being obedient. That's very different than performance. Performance is feeling guilty if you don't. I've got to do my Bible study. I don't have time. I'm going to Bible study tonight with the guys. It's Wednesday night. I'm going to read the scripture real quick. Okay, got it done. I can say I got it done. Okay, that's performance. Obedience is taking it in during the week, thinking about it, mulling it over, chewing on it, allowing God to change you through the truth of his word. Performance is empty, and it's as exhausting. Because you're trying to remember where you were at in the performance. You're trying to remember what reality really is. Because honestly, when we're performing, we don't remember what reality is. Because it's a little bit more of this over here, and then with this people, it's a little bit more of this performance. And we don't have a clue of who we are. And we wonder why we have no joy. It's because we're confused and confusing. But when we mull over the word of God, now we're for the audience of one. Now we're in relationship rather than performing. Now we're enjoying God. He's enjoying us. Now when the challenge comes, we're at peace with what's happening around us. You guys, that is a very, very good thing. Because we can limit the amount of pain that we cause ourselves. Think about this. We can limit the amount of pain that we cause ourselves by our choice to be obedient. Because a lot of stuff, honestly, if I look at my life honestly, I think you guys are the same. If you look at your lives honestly, a lot of things do happen to you. But a lot of things happen because of the bad choices we make. And so we can experience joy more. Why? How? By the choices we make. Because why? And what's happening now? Man, I'm not experiencing the pain of making a bet of sin. I'm not experiencing the pain of, okay, I chose to be selfish here, and now I've hurt my wife and I've hurt my kids. Now I feel like dirt, and I just want it to be quiet. I just want to be obeyed. Now we become a tyrant. Do what I say. Why? Because I said so. Now we're cruel. If we're mulling it over, something happens. Now we're in relationship. Not only relationship here, but by being in relationship here, now we've got something to give away. Why? I don't know. Can we pray about it? Let's talk about it. What does Scripture say? What do you think? What's on your heart right now? How can I come alongside you with what you're going through? What do you need? How can we go through this together? Let's turn to God for some answers. See, things change, don't they? We go from being a victim and making others victims to us, so we get a little bit of power back, to, man, now we're servants. And we bless the people around us. It's a whole different life. There was a news crew after Hurricane Andrew. And it was going through a community that had just been devastated by Hurricane Andrew. It was looking at whole areas where the whole block, all the homes are gone. Just gone, 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 gone. The news crew comes and they come to this one block. Every house is gone. It's just completely destroyed, except for one house. It looks perfect. And the owner of the house is in there cleaning up the yard because all of the neighbor's stuff is in his yard. and he's cleaning up the yard. And the news crew comes in like, how? This is a miracle. He goes, it's not a miracle. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I live in a place that we have hurricanes, that we have tornadoes, that we have bad weather. And so I'm the builder of the home as well as the owner. And so I looked at what is going to get through a storm. How can I build in a way so that when the storm comes through, I'm still whole, my home's still whole. They were dumbfounded because it's not that the storm missed the house. It's that the house was prepared for the storm. What a difference. Guys, in Christ, guess what? We get to get prepared for the storm. We go to the Word of God. Why? Beforehand. We're hungry. We're meditating on the Word of God before the storm. And now the storm calms and it blows through. And we're still whole. And what would have wiped people out hasn't wiped us out. Instead, it's made us stronger in our faith. Instead, it's caused us to be more dependent on God in prayer and His Word than ever before. But it doesn't happen if we look to start reading and praying after the storm hits. We need to get ready for the storm. Because I promise you this, the storms are coming. The storm will keep coming. In this world, the storms pass through regularly. That was Storm Andrew. Guess what? There's Storm Monday, Storm Tuesday, Storm Wednesday, Storm Thursday. There's even Storm Sunday. But when the storm of Friday and Saturday night hit, if I'm meditating on the Word, I get to be whole as the storm goes through. I get to be who I am in Christ, unchanging. And I get to have a more fun. I get to have a real kind of fun. I get to have the kind of fun I can remember the next day. And I get to bless others who had that fun with me. Because now they've got somebody to anchor on a little bit. Because you've been there before. You know what it's like to, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the lies. I'm tired of the junk. I want a way out. And when a believer stands in a storm because of their faith, others can grab on and then can learn how when the next storm hits, they can't just be barely surviving, but they can stand and be whole in Christ Jesus, in relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Praise God, guys. The Psalms are going to, as we're going to go through them, we're going to see, man, it's everyday real life. And what we do matters. How we live matters. It matters for us and it matters for the blessing of the people around us. And blessed, on the right path are we. Man, when we're in the presence of God through His Word, when we're studying it, when we're hungry for it, when we're delighting in it, to delight, our greatest pleasure comes from our relationship with God. And all of life flows out of that. I'm excited. I'm excited that we get to be whole as the storm goes racing through. I can't tell you how many times I've been on my knees and God says, it's time to get up. You're okay. Because I'm with you through this process. Praise God for who He is and what He's done for me. I couldn't do it for myself. I wasn't built to do it for myself. I was created in the image of God. And when I honor God, I bring Him glory. And His covering is amazing. His covering is beautiful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that the truth of Your Word sets us free. That we don't have to do what the people around us are doing to try and fit in and be miserable and know that we're paying a price and we're not who we are and we're being fake and we're Father, thank you that that life is not the life that we have to live. Thank you that we can be whole and joyous and at peace in the midst of all that's going around us. Father, thank you that as the storms of life come through, we can be whole because we're prepared by your word, by prayer, by being in intimate relationship with you. Father, show us how. Show us what we need to set aside. Father, for each one of us, there's different things. For some, anger is that hook that the enemy uses to bring us back in. For others, it's lust. For others, it's pride. For others, it's trying to fit in. It's trying to be one of the gang. Lord, I just pray that you would replace the lies with truth. Thank you, that, Lord, that our identity is in you and not in what we do. And that because our identity is in you, we can be whole no matter how big the storm is around us. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, bless us so that we can be a blessing to others as we honor and glorify you in our lives. Lord, show us how to do that. Lord, I pray that you would give us a craving, a delight in your word, Lord, that we would look forward to putting other things away, to Lord, that binge watching Netflix would be replaced by prayer and study of your word. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Do what you need to do. Do whatever it is you need to do in our lives, Lord, to humble us and bring us closer to you. We are living sacrifices for you. Lord, thank you for your truth. Thank you for freedom in you. We pray that this would be a week of great growth. Lord, I pray for each one here. Lord, I pray that each one of us would have one area that we have weakness in right now. Lord, that we would go to your word, find out what your word says. And as the next challenge hits, we're firm and ready for the blast, the temptation, the attack, the storm. And that we would stand strong in the midst of it because of the truth of your word being lived out. Father, may we experience victory in new ways because we have